right? How many times when they're real little, we keep them away from things? Is that right? When they're real little, we keep them away from the stove. So Elena just had her experience with the stove the other day. She walked over, there was something cooking on the stove, and she went to reach up, and Missy said, yeah, you know, bark there, stop, stop, stop. You know, and Elena, she's just at that phase of her life where she don't care. Fearless. Oh, yeah, she's fearless. Yeah, exactly. So she stopped, you know, because she got caught. But then as soon as Missy, I was watching, as soon as Missy turned around, she turns back and I was like, go for it, kid. You're going to do it once. Right? My beloved, I think God, I know God, at times protects us by telling us to be aware of how the devil works. Is that true? Sober, the word sober here in the Greek doesn't mean not drunk. It means lacking extremes. It means to be stable. Be stable in your spirit, right? Don't get blown all over the place. We'll get there at some point too. There's another scripture we're going to get there. Maybe next week we'll see how it goes. But that's what he says. Be sober. Be on the alert. Why? Because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Right? You're not alone. Everybody say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I don't care what you're going through in your life. You're not alone. Right? No matter where you are in your walk, no matter what's coming against you, no matter what storm you're walking through, no matter what's going on, no matter what you think is falling apart in your life, you're not alone. Somebody else is currently going through that, maybe right even in this church. But that's the devil. He wants to say, oh, look at you. Isolate. Right? Nobody understands me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Isolate. 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 Amen. Here's our favorite verse. What a great verse. Verse 10. After you suffered for a little while. Everybody say a little while. How many people like this verse?
Yes.
Yeah, baby. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So again, we're going to kind of be digging around this truth that God is protecting us. And I want to say something. I did a live earlier this week. Some of you might have seen it, but I did a live earlier this week, and I was studying, and the Holy Spirit really brought something to my mind. I want to just touch on it here before we move on. Because what we tend to do, we're very black and white in how we think about things a lot of times. Is that true? Is that just me? Right? We tend to think it's this way or it's this way.
Yeah.
Right? Are there things in Scripture that are very black and white? Everybody say yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but protection, I want to make sure, because I said a couple Sundays ago, does God care about your Ferrari? No, probably not. Not really, right? But I want to say this, my beloved. Should we believe and be confident that God will physically protect us?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? And I think sometimes what we do is we tend to think, well, gosh, you know, Pastor said that God don't really care about your Ferrari. Well, he cares about your Ferrari because he cares about you. Is that true?
Yes.
And as soon as the Holy Spirit brought this to my mind, I just thought about the last few years of our family. It's like our big girls, they grew up without any real problems. The second batch, we're like, man, we're terrible. Poking their eyes out with scissors, you know, bashing the ends of their toes off with benches. We don't know what we're doing, right? And I started thinking about it with Everly a couple years ago. Man, she fell on the scissors right in the eye socket. And you know, that was this far from just poking her eyeball out of her face, right? Was God protecting her?
Yes.
Absolutely, right? Elena drops a big bench on her toe, blows the end of her toe off, right? Like, yikes! I mean, just think about it. If that bench fell this much farther up on her foot, it crushes the end of her foot, and we've got all kinds of problems. No bone damage, no nothing. They just sewed the end of her toe back on and can't even tell. I know which toe it is. I can't tell, right? Our car accident a year ago where we were hit head on. You know, we walked away. Right, so I don't want us to church. I don't want us to get to do like it's, you know, you understand what I'm saying? Should we believe and pray and trust that God is going to physically protect us, our family, our loved ones, our absolutely, but if it appears that he does not, is where we've been going for a few weeks, right? If God lets something come in, that means he's doing something with it. Is that good? Are we okay with that? If you're not, it's the truth anyway. Verse 10 here. Kind of just back up the point I just made. What if God's protection, right? Because it says here clearly in verse 10 that God is going to allow us to suffer. Everybody say for a little while. How many people know that our concept of a little while and God's concept of a little while are slightly different? Right? It's when you take a road trip. Are we there yet? Dude, we didn't even come out of the driveway yet. What do you mean, are we there yet? Right? It's like the little kids, right? They don't understand time, right? It's are we there? Are we there? It's this constant, you know, because they a little while when you're small is, you know, concept of time. So obviously, my beloved, I think we need to start thinking, okay, a little while, the issue is, do we try to nail down what God thinks about as a little while? Or we distrust God that, okay, what I see here is the second half of this verse, that God himself, the sovereign God, controls everything, including Satan, will confirm, strengthen, will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish me. That's what we've got to fix our eyes on, right? No matter what I'm going through, no matter what the storm is, no matter what's happening to me, this is God's promise, right? I'll fix my eyes on that rather than on the suffering. Is that good? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 10. Look at this. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Who's he talking about right here?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made what? Let's read this verse together, church. Talking about Jesus. Having been made perfect. You can't make something perfect if it's already perfect. Is that true? Now the word perfect here, we talk about this all the time here in our church, does not mean flawless, it means mature. That's the Greek word there, mature, right? So suggesting even that suggestion, boy, this rocks our theology a little bit, because we for years, I mean, I remember a long time ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, son, we read all these stories in the Bible and we read stories because we already know how they work out. And we just read through them and we fail to identify with what's going on in the story. And he said to me, start reading Bible stories and stop halfway through. Forget you know how it ends. You're halfway through the story of David. You're halfway through the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis when he's sitting in the prison. Like, what did I do wrong? Nothing. You did nothing wrong. But yet he finds himself stuck in a prison for years and years and years. Right? Well, yeah, but Pastor Joseph, everything worked out fine. Yeah, but Joseph didn't know everything was going to work out fine when he's in the prison. Is that true? And so what happens is we fail to pull the truths of the kingdom out of these Bible stories, including the stories about Jesus. We're like, well, he's fully God and fully man. Okay, fine. But the Bible clearly says right here that he learned obedience, church. Jesus. Was he disobedient? No, because the Bible says he's without sin, right? If we disobey, that means we've sinned. So he's without sin. He's not disobedient, but we have to understand if he's tempted in every way in which we are tempted and yet is without sin, that means that he was constantly tempted to disobey the will of the Father. It's not just not the three in the wilderness, church. You're not telling me that Jesus was never tempted by a woman? He's a man. Come on, church. You're not telling me that there's never some woman that was like, what's up? You ladies don't say that, do you? I know what y'all do. I don't know. That's what guys say. What's that girl? I don't know what they say. What a girl say. I don't know. But you see what I'm saying, church? He learned obedience. So was he ever disobedient? Everybody say no. Was he tempted to be disobedient? Absolutely. If he's not tempted, he can't rescue us from it. Is that true? Right? God will not allow temptation to come on you that's not common to man, but he was also faithful, and along with that temptation, he'll provide a way out of it, right? Because of what Jesus went through. Jesus was tempted in every single thing any of us will ever be tempted in, and that's why there's always a way out. No matter how hard a temptation's coming at you, there's always a way out of it. Amen. Always. Can I get amen? So look at this. Having been made perfect, he became to all those who believe in him. Oh, here's a bad four-letter word in church today. Can I get amen? He became to all those who obey him the source of eternal. What do you mean the source? Pastor, what are you talking about? I got saved 23 years ago. I already got eternal life. Well, you got born again. And you got sealed by the Holy Ghost, but it appears to me that there's more we can get as we learn to obey Jesus. And if Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering, then how do we think we're going to learn obedience without a little bit of suffering? Is this all right? The Lord said to me this week, I was debating whether to share this with you guys, but I'm going to share it now. This week, the Lord is on Monday, I think, the Lord said to me this. And this is what we're going to wrap up with here, but a little nugget. The Lord said to me this, son, there's fire can be used as a weapon, or fire can be used as a tool. And it all depends on who's wielding it as to whether it's a weapon or whether it's a tool. I was like, whoa, okay. I wrote that down. The next morning, I was up early drinking my coffee, thinking about that, and the Lord spoke to me again. And he says, fire, when it's used as a tool, is always hotter than fire used as a weapon. Amen. Right? I started thinking about, like, back in those old medieval movies, you know, when they... The Lord of the Rings and stuff, when they dip the arrow and they light the arrow on fire and poof, shoot it at something, right? You fire in your fireplace, right? Even if a house burns to the ground, that fire's hot. But it's not hot enough to melt metal. That's why if you watch a house burn to the ground, all the metal stuff is still there because it's not hot enough to melt the metal. But you go to a blacksmith shop, which we don't even have those anymore, but you know what I mean. A blacksmith shop, that fire is hot enough to put iron into it and turn it into liquid. Fire that's a tool is far hotter than fire that's a weapon. Is that true? Verse 8 here in the Message Bible says this, though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered, just as we do. Right? Trusting obedience. I think there's the whole point. I just love that phrase. If we were to sum the last 3 weeks up into one phrase, there it is, right? That I ain't moving faith. It's that trusting obedience. Faith, I cannot move in faith without moving in obedience. See, I've been around long enough, y'all, where people do things and say, oh, Pastor, I'm doing this in faith. Well, not if the idea didn't originate with God, you're not. Not a single person in the Bible did something that was their idea first, and then God's like, wow, that's amazing. You should do that. God is the one who initiates the conversation, gives somebody a dream, a vision, sends a prophet, right? It's always God calls somebody out of their little world and says, look, I've got something for you to do, right? Faith is an act of obedience. I'm going to obediently respond to what God is calling me to do. Is that okay? Yep. Think about this. As I said last Sunday, we tend to think, and maybe 2 days ago, we tend to think that it's always, you know, this act of faith is going to be something amazing. God's going to tell me to go to Timbuktu. God's going to tell me to go to China. God's going to tell me to do this. Okay, maybe. But you know what God is telling every one of us to do? Love one another. Like I've loved you. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church, gave himself up for it. Washing her clean with the washing of the water of the word. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto Christ. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Faith. It's that living daily obedience to the word of God. Can I get amen? James chapter 1. Told you I'm moving quickly here because we're going to land on something in a minute here. James chapter 1. Just looking at a few things to kind of continue building this truth. James chapter 1 verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when the Lord blesses you and answers your prayers. When you, notice it doesn't say if, it says when, in other words, it's coming. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Why? How do we do this? How do we look at trials with joy? Because verse 3, we know that the testing of our faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. How many folks think it sounds good to lack in nothing as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Wow. What the heck would that look like? Pardon my French, man. Could you imagine lacking nothing? I don't lack anything. I am full. I'm complete. I'm mature. I'm doing great, man. I don't care what happens around me. I've got endurance because I learned endurance through these various trials that tested my faith and produced more endurance. Is that true? Let's go back to verse 10 here in Peter's letter. And these four things, I want to look at these four things that God promises to do after we've suffered for a little while. He will, number one, perfect. So that particular Greek word, church, means to get ready or to prepare. Number one, after we suffer for a little while, God himself will get you ready or prepare you. You're like, prepare me for what? For whatever's coming next. How many people are having a good day one day and all of a sudden something happened that you didn't see coming? You know who did see it coming? God. Anybody ever have God dealing with you and you're like, what on earth is this about? You have no idea what he's dealing, why he's talking to you, about whatever he's talking to you about. You're praying about this. He's over here somewhere talking about this. And you're like, what are you, sleeping up there? Right? You're like, no, I'm praying about this. I don't want to talk about this. He says, yeah, but we're going to keep talking about this because I know that I need to talk to you about this because this is about to happen over here. You're over here somewhere. I got no idea what's going on. Is that just me? Number two, God is going to confirm, perfect and confirm, to make fast or establish is the Greek word there. Number three, God's going to strengthen us. Pretty simple, right? Make us stronger. And number four, interesting, he's going to establish us. And the Greek word here means, again, to lay the foundation of. Bless you. God is going to lay. Boy, it seems like there's lots of stuff in the Bible about foundations. Amen? Because why? Foundations is what makes sure my house stands up when things are going sideways. Amen. All right, meat of the message here. We might be done a little bit early. Praise God. Maybe not. Probably not. Teasing you guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. My tablet's going to die, so maybe we'll be done early. Or it's real bad because I'll just keep on going. Look at verse 10 through 15, church. According to the grace of God, which is given to me. Who's speaking here? Paul, right? Like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Everybody say, and another. Another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For if any man, hang on, I lost my spot here. For if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with, ever say fire. With fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So let me ask you a question. Number one, is this about being saved or not saved? Being born again, getting to heaven someday? No. Ever say no? Right? Just says it right here. He will be saved, yet as through fire. Right? So what we need to understand, church, a couple things here. Number one, our culture is attacking our young people like crazy with this. Every person is ultimately responsible for how we build our lives. I got a couple head nods and a weird noise over here somewhere. Right? Can I get an amen, church? The Bible clearly tells us this, right? Even about the whole generational curse thing, I've seen some more teaching popping up now about generational curses. But the Bible says that in Christ, generational curses are broken. And what a generational curse is looks like this. Here's what it looks like in our culture. Well, my grandfather was alcoholic, my dad's an alcoholic, and now I'm an alcoholic. Nothing I can do about it. Lie. That's a total lie, especially if you're born again, man. You know what's in my family tree, both sides, is dysfunctional marriages. Back generations. Whether they were whether it was divorces or there was multiple affairs, horrible marriages. Horrible. And when I got saved, born again, I said, you know what? That junk stops right here. That junk stops right here. That ain't going any farther than the bloodline of Jesus, man. Can I get amen? Amen. Right? Every one of us, church, is responsible for how we either have built or will build our lives. Right? You can't blame nobody. That's not going to hold water before God. Well, the pastor said this. Okay, well, what did you do with it? Did you research it? Did you go read your Bible? Did you pray about it? Did you just do what the pastor said? Church, I've said things that are wrong. You're like, amen. I hope you go home and read what I preach about, for crying out loud. Please do that. And just be nice if I'm wrong. Is this all right? God is good and patient and kind, but he's also just and righteous, and he's put his spirit within us so that we can overcome anything that has happened to us. I'm just going to look over here. Church, I'm right here. I was here. God has healed me. But look, whatever has happened to you in your past, however traumatic it may be, God will not accept that as an excuse to continue behaving a certain kind of way. I'm being gentle. Either the power of God is there to heal you or it's not. Now, that's going to hurt and it's going to be ugly and you're going to ugly cry. I was joking around with Wani the other day, ruined one of my favorite shirts a few years back. Cried all over it. Man, it was good though. I said, all right, that's sacrifice for Jesus. What?
What kind of tears you got?
I don't got ugly tears anymore, man. I cried all my ugly tears. Got all my ugly tears out.
You got bleach in them?
Church, can I get amen, right?
Amen.
We, disciples of Christ, should be, ever say should be?
Should be
the most healthy people on the earth.
Amen.
We should be.
Amen.
Right? Are we going to let Jesus plow it up and let the Holy Ghost in there straighten it out? Is that true?
Amen.
That's a process, y'all. Ever say process?
Process.
Yeah? So let's take this truth and move on. So verse 12 and 13 back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here. If any, Paul says, if any man builds on the foundation means you've been born again, right? There's this foundation laid. And the foundation, Paul says, is Jesus Christ, right? So this is a believer, this is a born again person, disciple of Jesus, who has enough of an understanding of the gospel where we say, man, I am solid on who Jesus is. I know he's the Son of God. I know he was the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. He is the fullness of God, you know, in man, deity in inside of a human body, right? I know he's coming back. I know all these things, right? This is a person who's got a good, solid grasp of the gospel. Can I get amen? But now Paul's saying, look, now that you've got this foundation that I have laid and you're good with it, now he says any man can build on it. Is that true? And he says there's a warning there to be careful of how we build. All right, back to our the first Peter thing I started with, right? He says, be sober in spirit. Be alert. Because the devil is out there. God is saying, I'm not going to keep the devil away from you. I want you to be alert and recognize when he shows up and wants to stick his nose in your business. Could God make us build everything exactly the way he wants us to build it?
Yeah.
Sure. But you know what he won't do? He won't do that. He's saying, you be careful how you build. Do you see this, church? Why do we need to be careful? Well, I know why we need to be careful? Because God is going to test what you build. With, everybody say fire.
Fire.
That's what it says, right? I'm just reading the Bible, y'all. Don't get mad at me. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. The day, well, we don't know what the day is, will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Well, I say a moment ago, there's fire that can be used as a what? As a, everybody say a weapon. Or this fire can be used as a tool. Is that true? So let's just make a general statement here. The enemy will use fire as a weapon against you. But God will use fire as a tool. And here's the thing, that fire that's a weapon is fire that rages out of control. Burns everything. But when fire is used as a tool, it burns specific things. It's targeted. It's not designed to destroy, it's designed to strengthen. It's designed to reveal. It's designed to purify. It's designed to make things better. I saw a preacher recently, and he said this, talking about this very concept. He said, look, if you put something that is precious in fire, it becomes better. But if you put something that's not precious in fire, it gets burned up. Is that true? On my live the other day, I was kind of finishing up by this live by talking about the story of the three little pigs. I couldn't remember exactly how that story goes, but isn't it right that the one builds out of straw? He builds a house out of straw. Is that right?
Yeah.
Straw and sticks and bricks, right? And I said, Brock, that's kind of a funny story, and it kind of lines up with the Bible a little bit. You know, these two little pigs, they just want to bang it out and go have a good time. Sounds like the church. We don't want to actually do any work, man. We just want to feel good, sing some good songs that I like, and have a good day. We don't want to actually go home and lay some bricks out. Because you know what? Think about it. The first two little piggies, they didn't really think that the wolf was actually going to show up. Do you know how many Christians think the devil's not real? Bro, there are churches that teach that the devil is a metaphor. Dude, what? Can you imagine the rude awakening you're going to get someday when you meet him? Because I got a feeling if you're teaching that, you ain't going the right direction when you're out of here. Is that true? I don't know how you live on this earth and think the devil's not real. I don't even care if you're not a Christian. How do you watch what people do to each other and think the devil ain't real? How do you watch child trafficking, sex trafficking, and think that there's not something demonic behind that? Just look around. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Just like creation should reveal the glory of God, we should look at the depravity of man and think that should be, that's showing us the glory of the devil. Is that true? I don't know how people don't believe this stuff. Church, let's think about this for a moment. I know this is getting, we're getting squirmy. I can feel it. God will test what you build. Think about how many stories. We had folks in this church a long time ago. They're super folks. But one time I preached this sermon, or I don't think I was even preaching yet at this church. It was a long time ago. But I might have, maybe during worship or something, I said something about God will test us. And these people, I mean, great people, they came up to me after church and they pulled me aside. I said, we don't like talking about that. I was like, what? Come on, man. What on earth? You used to remember, you guys know that song, Blessed Be Your Name, right? Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. These same folks didn't want to sing that song anymore. Because there's a line in there at the end that says, you give and take away, you give and take away, but my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. We don't like that. It's in the Bible. Like, that is a line straight out of the book of Job, word for word. Word for word. So in other words, you don't like the Bible is what you're telling me. So we got a whole other problem here. Come on, church. Other things as I've gone through my years with the Lord, as I've read the Bible, I'm like, man, I don't like that at all. But every time I start thinking that, the Holy Spirit says, look, if we disagree on something, it's because you're wrong. Yeah, not y'all disagree with me, but when we disagree with God, it's because we're wrong. Is that true? You're wrong. And the faster we admit that, the faster he straightens us out. Is that good? So let me, I'm almost done in my notes here, but I finished this late last night and I was thinking about this morning. I want to really make something really clear here. God will test what you build with fire. Abraham got tested, right? Isaac is finally born. Isaac is 13, 14, 15 years old, roughly, approximately, right? And it says, the Bible says, and God tested Abraham, right? Go give me your son, the promised son, right? So the very thing that Abraham had waited for, I mean, he's like 40 years into it at this point, roughly, right? God's like, give him back. And Abraham apparently is like, okay,
I know.
Right? But you know, if you study the story of Abraham throughout the scriptures, get into the book of Romans, you see when it talks about Abraham, it says that Abraham was so convinced that God would raise Isaac even from the dead. And it says, the next verse, it says, and he received him back from the dead in a sense. In a sense, right? In other words, my beloved, Abraham had gotten so done trying to work out what God said in his own wisdom. Abraham was, he had tried, come on. The promise is you're going to have a son, so he tried. He's trying to make babies, you know what I mean? He's trying to keep it G-rated in here this morning. He tried and tried and tried. And continued trying. But then it says, the Bible says this, right? When he looked at he examined the deadness of his own body and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet in regard to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in, everybody say, faith. Convinced that God was able to do what he had said. Dude, why? Why does it take 25 years for the Son of God? Because it's 25 years of God burning up his flesh. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, church. Why, the friend right here, she sent me something recently, said, you know, we like to microwave things in America. God likes to marinate things. You ever microwave a steak? Please say no. No, you got to marinate a steak. All right? That's nasty. It's hot. You might as well just eat a tire, though. Chew on a shoe or something. Right? It's hot. You can't eat it, though. See, we want to get hot for God. Pow! But God's like, no, I'm going to marinate you, man. I'm going to put you in a little baggie and stick you in the back of the fridge. Let you sit in there for a week. Get some spices in you. How many people like this sermon? Like, nope. One person. They're like, yeah, bring it. Does God, my beloved, want every single one of us to be successful? And I'm talking in the kingdom sense, right? Everybody say yes.
Yes.
So if God is going to bring some fire into our lives and potentially burn things up, is he burning things up to hurt us? Or is he burning things up so that we won't be hurt? Yeah, he purifies. He's purifying us. But it says here that if we build things out of wood, hay, and stubble, or wood, hay, and is it stubble in this translation, right? Your wood, hay, and straw, right? Wood, hay, and straw, like the two little pigs, right? It says that whatever we build is going to be burned up and we'll suffer loss, Paul says, right? Anybody ever suffered some loss in your life? Anybody ever built something, got burned down? For sure, yeah. I've tried building some ministries before in this church, and they got burned right down. And finally I said, Lord, what am I doing wrong here? So I had to step back and say, man, let's examine this and figure out, why does this keep happening? Rather than just keep doing the same thing and keep getting the same results over and over and over again, right? What are we doing wrong? Is that right? Think about David bringing the ark back to Israel. And they go and get it. They're excited about it. And it's in their Uzzah, right? It's Uzzah that's with them and a few other guys. And they put the ark on a cart, which is wrong. You're supposed to put poles through the rings and carry it on shoulders, right? But they're like, no, it's fine. Let's just get it back where it's supposed to be. No. And the ark hits a bump, and the cart hits a bump, and the ark goes to fall off, and Uzzah touches it. Pow! God strikes him dead. And the Bible says that David was angry with God. How could you do that, God? We're doing something for you. You know, church, we need to understand, it's not so much about doing something for God, it's doing things for God the way he wants them done.
Amen.
Which is faith. Faith ain't doing something for God. Faith is doing it the way God said to do it. Faith is doing it the way God says to do it. Well, that's going to take a long time. Yeah, exactly. And then it'll be a suddenly. Pow. Is that all right? Question here, church. Almost done. I'm going to make a point here that I hope you're going to like. I really liked it when the Holy Spirit gave me this last night or early this morning, whichever one it was. Does anyone want what you've built to be burned up? Nobody. Praise God. Thank you. Jesus' name. So let's think about this. If Paul says here, if you build out of gold, silver, and precious stones, whatever you built will stand up when the fire comes, and you get a reward. But if you build out of wood, hay, and straw, the same fire comes and burns it up, and you suffer loss, right? Is that what it says? So here's the question. This is what struck me. Look, okay, so how do I build out of gold and silver and precious? Like, what is it, right? Do y'all see this, right? And here's what I want to suggest to you. Because I sat there and just hit me. I was like, whoa. Back to one of our first passages of scripture we started this little series, which is what? That the testing of your faith in 1 Peter chapter 1 being more precious than gold, even though tested by fire, would result in praise, glory, honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter's saying the same thing that Paul's saying. There's a reward because your faith is being tested. In your faith, Peter makes a metaphor that your faith is like gold in God's kingdom. Does God need gold in his kingdom? No. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. So what we need to transact with God in heaven, in the heavenly realm, in the kingdom, is not gold and money, it's faith. The faith is what's gold. The faith is what's silver. The faith is what's valuable in the kingdom of heaven. Can I get an amen? So when I respond to God, reading his word, I read his word and he says, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, as a friend, and I see scripture that says, here's how you're to conduct yourself as a man, right? And I respond to that faith and I say, okay, God, I don't care what my wife does to me. I don't care what my children do. I don't care what crazy church. I mean, not crazy. There's no crazy folks in church. I was going, nah, there's no crazy folks in church. I don't care what folks in church do. I don't care how Christians treat me. I don't care how my boss treats me. I am going to stand my ground and do the right thing in faith. Because God says, when you be the man I've called you to be, there's what I'm going to do for you. So all that fire that's coming at me from maybe my wife, hopefully not, my kids, coworkers, culture, school systems, neighbors, financial crunches, maybe all kinds of things. Can I get amen, church? That fire, if I'm building my life, what I'm building on that foundation is by faith. I'm obeying God as I build it. I'm doing exactly the way God wants me to do it. He says, the fire comes, it's going to make you stronger. But if I choose to take God's word and say, oh, that's too hard, I'm not going to do that. I'm building something. I'm just building with wood, hay, and straw. Do you see this, church? I can be obedient to God, step out in faith, which is harder. It's the third little piggy. Because I know that the big bad wolf's going to show up and huff and puff and blow on my house. Or I can, which takes time. All the other two little piggies are out there having a good time, having a picnic or something. I don't know what they're doing. Hanging out at the beach. I don't know what they're doing. But you know what? They were sorry when the fire came. Is that true? Let's stand up. Does this make sense? It's tough, church, but I'm telling you what, I think we got some tough times coming. I keep saying this, I wish I could tell you something different. I wish I could tell you it's going to be great. But you know what I do know? It will be great. Because there's a joy that's set before us. And for that joy, we can endure the cross and despise the shame. Think a little of it. Can I get amen? I know that God is a God who will restore. If we're still all down here when all this stuff goes sideways that's in the Bible, if we're all still here, you know what? God will protect us. God will see us through. He will set us apart. God will say, these are my people. Right? All this stuff's going on over here, but these are my people. Right? 1,000 will fall, 10,000 will rise, but it will not come near me. Can I get amen? So Lord, in Jesus' name, this is the whisper from the Holy Spirit last night. He says, son, when my fire comes, it's to burn up what's not built right, so that when the devil brings fire, there's nothing left to burn. God's fire comes and burns up the stuff I didn't build right. So when the devil brings fire, there's nothing left to burn up. So Lord, in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, show us any areas, God. I think we've all probably been here where we felt like we're doing something good and building, and then it falls apart. Help us see it, God. Show us what we've done in our own wisdom, by the wisdom of man, the ways of man, the ways of the world, God. That stuff is never going to stand up when the fire comes. It won't make it. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that this house, everybody here this morning, everybody online this morning, this house, God, show us what it means to build in faith. I'm not moving. I will do what God said, and that's all I'm going to do. That gold and silver and precious stones, and that when your fire comes, God, it purifies that faith, and we get a reward from you. So, Lord, help us this week. Make us even more sensitive to that little whisper from the Holy Spirit saying, "Oh, don't do that. Don't say that. But say this, do this, go here, build this, do this." Help us, Holy Spirit, to build things that will last when the fire comes, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you. If you guys need prayer for anything at all, please come on up. We'd love to pray with you.